All right. It is 8:16 a.m. You're listening to KCAW, and I'm your host, Meredith. I'm in the studio this morning with our fire chief, Craig Warren. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
And, Chief, we are here today to talk about emergency preparedness in Sitka, which I know has been, I mean, I think it's sort of always on the top of our minds because we have this volcano in town and, you know, we get lots of possible emergencies. And so we're here to just sort of answer some questions, talk about how people can be more prepared if they're thinking about it. And I want to start by asking just, you know, we live in Sitka, lots of possible emergencies. What are the most likely events that we're talking about that Sitkans should be having in their minds when they think about emergencies?
Heavy weather. Those are the events that impact us the most. Whether it's high winds like we had last year, or heavy rain that creates landslide problems.
Right, and we've had a few really bad landslides over the years. And then what's the worst case scenario, Chief?
Oh, that's easy. That's the volcano. I started planning when the volcano started rumbling here a couple years ago. We started looking at plans, and the plans kept just going to the next plan and the next plan. We don't know what's going to come out of the volcano, so we don't know if our water's going to be safe to drink. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it's a sustained ash event. We've lost all transportation, so there's no planes in or out. There's no barges in or out because the ash is so abrasive to engines. The barge company is not going to want their tugboats eating that up. That's worst case scenario.
Okay, so
that's easy.
So that would be isolation for a while. That would
be isolation for a while, and the experts at the Volcano Observatory that I talk with regularly, they can't tell me how bad. What they can tell me is that even if Edgecombe keeps rumbling for years, it's going to take a long time for us to have any kind of event because it is what they termed it as an old cold volcano. So it takes a long time for the magma to get through the cold bedrock.
Okay, so that sounds promising for
long
our near
ways
future.
Out even if we have to start worrying about it, it's still a long ways down the road.
Okay, that's good to know. And I mean, it sounds like that's not the most common scenario that Sitkin should be preparing for. For something like a landslide or, you know, power outages from a windstorm or, you know, tsunami, what should the average Sitkin be doing now to prepare for something like that?
The easiest preparation is food storage. Down south, they always used to say you should have three days supply. And Katrina kind of changed that model into maybe we need to have a 7-day supply. Mm-hmm. And because we are so isolated and dependent on that supply chain, I would say we should have a 2-week supply. It could be something as simple as a strike at the Port of Seattle. We could get affected by a lot of different things and run out of supplies.
Mm-hmm. And so if we're talking multiple weeks of food and water, does that look like, you know, 5 extra pork shoulders in your freezer? Or what are we talking about?
Well, while that sounds like a great idea, now you have to have electricity to keep that freezer cold. Do we have power in this heavy weather event? You know, our electric department is just amazing at what they can do. We had a power outage over Thimbleberry that I was like, oh my, it's going to take weeks for them to get that repaired. And I think they had it repaired in like 2.5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are amazing at how quickly they can get power back on as long as they have the parts to do it. What my personal preference is, my wife and I have started doing those Mountain House freeze-dried kits because all you have to do is add hot water.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a little camp stove, and the expiration on that is a long ways out. I think they're good through 2045.
Okay.
So I've got 20 years before I have to worry about rotating the supply.
So you're suggesting Sidkins have some kind of shelf-stable products that could last them 2 weeks. And then, you know, say we hear about an emergency and you don't have enough water. Are we talking filling the bathtub?
Yep, that's okay. That's the first go-to. I mean, that's 50-gallon water supply right there.
Yeah.
And I'm not coming up with all of this off the top of my head. There's a great website, ready.gov, that's FEMA's website.
It's okay.
Got everything for tips and tricks and communications plans for your family. You know, how do we get a hold of not just our family in town and make sure they're safe? How do we get a hold of our relatives off island, especially if there's another great internet outage?
Right. We all have experience with that one now.
Yeah, and it was amazing at how problematic it became and how quickly it was there. I mean, online banking.
Right.
We all do it, and we don't think twice about it, and then all of a sudden, no internet at all, it becomes a problem.
Right. Okay, so we've got food, we've got water, some kind of communication system to talk to the outside world, and then Chief, you mentioned one other thing when we were talking before this interview, specific to tsunami evacuation. Can you tell us about where we evacuate if there's a tsunami and how you should decide whether or not to evacuate?
So, number one, we don't know what's going to happen. How big is the wave going to be? Japan is arguably the most prepared country for tsunamis. And they had an event where it went right over the top of their walls. We don't know how big it's going to be. What we do know is that our fault lines out front here are strike slip faults, so we're not going to have the large pressure wave created in quite the same way. And Japan, the coast of China, and Russia are probably the events that could bring a tsunami to Sitka, just because they look right out the mouth of the sound. Mm-hmm. Our biggest problems, I think, are going to be the water going out and the damage that's occurring to our fleet of boats in the water from the lack of water. And then the water coming back in could be a little bit of a problem, but I don't think we're going to see a huge wave, that, you know, 100-foot tall wave that mm-hmm. like the pictures we saw of Japan. We don't have enough capacity for the whole town to fit into the high school. And we found that out at the last evacuation. We were over full. Mm-hmm. There was no parking up there. And what's worse yet is there were people that were evacuating out of like Elias and Loop area to come down to the high school. You just drop 50 feet of elevation. We don't have food for you. We have very limited water for you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough bathrooms for everybody that goes to the high school. And we're not going to have beds. We're not going to have bedding. If I lived on Elias and Loop, I would rather be in my house. I've got my food there. I've mm-hmm. got water there. You know, back in the day, they used to talk about the tsunami parties they would have. Everybody came over to somebody's house that was high up on the mm-hmm. hill. Perfect. Now we have bedding. Now we can stay warm. Now we've got chairs to sit on. I mean, we didn't right. have that in the gymnasium.
Okay, so it sounds like, I mean, and this is specific to tsunamis, not to other emergencies.
Correct.
But if you're in a tsunami evacuation situation, and your home, or you have a place to go to that is higher elevation than our evacuation site, which is Sitka High, then you should feel free to stay there and
yes,
invite
please.
Your friends. Great. Okay. And so, Chief, we are coming up on the end of our time, but I want to sort of reiterate, and I think I also want to emphasize that we are not trying to scare Sitkins in talking about this. But I know this stuff is on your mind a lot, and so It's helpful for, you know, if Sitkins are thinking, how can I prepare for, you know, even something like the internet outage, again, you know, making sure you have a communication system, making sure you have food and water for a few days, and sort of knowing.
More than a few days, please.
For 2 weeks.
Thank you.
From Chief Warren. Those can help you sort of relax a little bit and know that you've got something prepared for the next emergency.
Yes, please. And don't try to do it all at once. Try and figure out smaller containers, lighter containers. I told you about, I had this 10-gallon water jug I thought was just perfect, and then I didn't think that at 8.3 pounds per gallon, mm-hmm. my wife is not carrying an 83-gallon water jug to the car.
Mm-hmm.
So make it realistic. Make it something that you actually would eat.
Right.
You know, don't go hungry because you bought things that kind of turn your stomach.
Right. Have something you're excited to eat. And we also want to pitch, we were supposed to have Bree Gable, our city sustainability coordinator, on this call today, but she is unable to make it. And she wanted to make sure folks knew about the Sitka Community Renewable Energy Strategy, which I think has some resources. So you can head over to cityofsitka.com/SCRES to get more information on this. And I've been joined in the studio this morning by Fire Chief and City Emergency Manager Craig Warren. We've been chatting about emergency preparedness in Sitka and what Sitkins can do to be better prepared. Thanks for joining me, Chief.
Thank you for having me.